Boys Lunch.
Here we go.
And we're back.
Nice.
Hey.
It's good to hear all of you again.
Yeah.
Gosh. Good to see you guys.
Missed you all. Yep. Every single one of you. Yep. Even you. Yeah. Yeah, you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know who we're talking about. Oh, you know what it is today? It's raining. You know what that means? The lawn's going to grow. Do you know what that means? We have to record an episode of Boys Lunch.
That's true.
Because people have not been mowing their yards, so they don't need us. But Scott Vogel, do not be concerned. It is a downpour that we got stuck in earlier, and so we're going to help you out here, Scott.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Like, we haven't had to record because Scott hasn't had to mow.
I don't know why we're sitting here feeling bad about it. Yeah. They haven't needed us. Though Mary did just go on a walk. She's like, so you guys going to like record? Because I've got...
Welcome back, everyone. It's Boys Lunch. It is the middle of summer 2023, the year of our Lord. It's been about a month since we've recorded, and we have a month of information to share with you.
Oh, buckle up. It's going to be a doozy.
This is going to be a very long form episode, so sit back and relax for a 4-hour exchange between Paul and I, two friends.
This is just us getting caught up.
Yeah.
How's your summer been, Joey?
It's been great. It's been definitely different.
Different, you say?
Yeah. No, it's good. It's just, you know, life changes. Summer will never be the same.
Go on.
In a good way. I think as our kids get older, there's just more things going on.
That's true. I guess you're incredibly active.
Yeah.
As we all are.
Yeah. You made that sound like I'm like a big exerciser. I want the listeners to know I'm not.
I've not lifted a weight in years.
Except about being active. There's just been a lot going on, but it's all been good. Get things done. Seeing people doing all the stuff, you know, month down, and I can look back and feel proud of myself.
That was the most nondescript answer ever. We did some things, people. We got some stuff done, saw some things. If you listen back to that 20 seconds,
yeah.
A person could not tell a single thing about what you've done this summer.
We
a single detail.
Pretty much like right out of the gate, as for Memorial Day, we went to Atchison, Kansas. So it took the whole family for our 10-year college reunion. So that was a lot of fun. The kids did really well. I think we always get in our head of like, oh, we can't travel. We got all these kids. It's going to be stressful. But like, they were like troopers. It was a lot of fun. It was very meaningful and very like feeling for our family. So
that's great. How's Benedictine looking?
It's great. It was cool. They were having the reunion weekend along with like an orientation weekend. So they had like all the buildings open. Cassell and I have gone there like twice, just like on a day trip or in Kansas City over the years. And you really can't get in anywhere. But this was kind of nice. Like we were there with our kids and then some other friends from college with their kids, just like moseying our way through campus a couple of days, just like going into buildings and exploring and just like showing our kids like, hey, this is where I lived. Like in them seeing my room and-
Oh, your actual room?
Yeah.
In the Joe?
Well, the Joe was like the only building that wasn't open.
Because it's condemned.
No. Well, no, there's still kids living there.
Seems like a health code violation.
But like doing that and going out on the soccer field.
Oh.
I took, Cisco was taking PKs against me. Like I was in the goal.
Awesome.
I was like, it was just so much fun.
Did you bring your Barcelona?
And they were so excited. We did not.
Oh.
But I don't know, just seeing them like it become real.
Yeah.
Like that was such a big part of Sel and I's life. And like we talk about it and they... like have seen some things around our house, but now like for them to visualize and they see it and they experienced it and like hearing them be like, I want to move here. I want to go to school here. Like that was so cool.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I guess I don't, Zaley starts to ask questions about Illinois State. And I forget that I'm always wearing like Redbird stuff.
Oh yeah.
I teach there. I went to school there.
Yeah.
And so whenever we drive through campus, we're like, oh, that's where dad and like, I
just the
how
concept
much they...
of Kansas to them. Like even just figuring out this is another place. I think that was like, good, just helping make those connections.
I really like that you said, you guys going to Kansas City?
Did we go?
Did you go into Kansas City?
Yeah, we stayed one day there.
But Atchison is the headliner.
Because we never just stayed there in Atchison. So that was nice.
That's good. I'm glad you guys spent.
We had a friend who lives in town with some kids there, and we got to go over and just have dinner with them. And it was like, just so awesome to see our kids play together.
That's so cool.
Very nostalgic. Very much of like a... We're both kind of in the moment people of like, we should move here. So there was like those moments of, I don't know, when you experience something so good, it's like, Yeah. I can't believe we ever leave this place or left this.
Right.
I can't believe we ever left this place.
Summer hits us all. Oh yeah.
And you want to hold on to that. Picture what it could be. And there's just such a good community there. But then like, you know, the practicals of like, but I don't know. It was like, it was good just to kind of dream it, or even like, there's a lot of good reflection for me, at least I can't speak for Sella, like the week after, of like, what was the good that you saw and how can you find it here, mm-hmm. and keep it going here? Type of thing. So that was good.
Gosh, that sounds like a podcast in and of itself.
Well, dude, I had about 4 weeks ago, I had a lot of great podcast ideas. And when I was finally reaching out to you this week, I forgot all of them. But like, I was like really diving deep into some of those things. Actually, that's, I think we're going to do next week. The episode of being lost.
Okay, nice.
So that has some of those elements.
Teaser.
Yeah. Awesome. That was great, dude. We came back right away and Cisco had Central Catholic basketball camp.
Ooh,
which is fun.
His first one.
It's funny because like, I went to that. I think you went to that growing up. Mm-hmm. Jason did our Coach Welch did a great job. It was so much fun. At the end, did you hear about this? When they're handing out the t-shirts and basketballs, they did like the Chicago Bulls introductions for all the kids. So they turned off the lights and they had some high schoolers shining the lights and they're like, and now Francisco Head. And he'd like come down and get his shirt. So
that's awesome.
He had a blast with that. And Totus Tuus as well. And you guys weren't able to go because you guys had your own fun thing going on, which we will get to next.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was cool seeing him go to that and enjoying Totus Tuus. So we've been, gosh, we had a lot of things right in a row, and there's more stuff we can talk about next episode. But yeah, it's been a busy month for the Heads.
That's
awesome. How was you guys?
Oh, I mean, it's just been everybody that's asked, I've just said it's been a phenomenal summer. I mean, just so restful. We did go up to northern Wisconsin, like we've talked about multiple times, to fish. Just a really good week, great weather. And just like there was no pressure to get a lot done. And I think that was what makes it so nice is not only are you in a beautiful location with family, but it's like I still get up early, read and pray, take in the beautiful views, hear the sounds, being serenaded by a loon.
Was there a loon?
Oh, there were multiple loons. It was glorious. Such a beautiful creature. Anyway.
Hold on. Can I just stop you real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
I saw Ann Godsey the other day,
yeah,
and her daughter Julia is working in Arizona right now, and her job is to track loons. I think breeding. I have no clue, but basically that's like her job right now is to help. She's studying loons.
Here.
So when Ann heard the podcast that you said that, she immediately like told Julia, like, Paul's favorite.
So if Julia wants to get in touch with the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to the Godseys.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Sorry. So you got to hear the loon.
And then, yeah, a lot of fishing on the pontoon boat with the girls. Caught a lot of bluegill, had a fish fry.
Oh, nice.
Some perch, some smallmouth bass. It was a lot of fun.
What was the what was the coolest fish you caught?
Coolest fish I caught. You know, it was mostly bluegill and bass for me. But
did your daughters catch some?
Yeah, they did too. Perch are always fun. The most like true fishing experience. I got up one morning early with Mary's dad and we went and we start fishing these lily pads with top water. They're like frogs. So they're, you'll just throw them in there and you kind of like plop them like from one empty space to another. And then like these bass will come up and just like hit it really hard. These like largemouth bass, just like, and it'll just explode. So the water just, and like you try to, so we did that one morning. That was a lot of fun.
Nice.
But most of it was just like, yeah, just getting all of the grandkids on the pontoon and like having enough adults that we could keep fishing at the same time, get them off the hook.
And some safety.
Yeah. But yeah, it was so good. And then we saw some friends in Minnesota, our goddaughter, a friend of Mary's from Franciscan.
Oh, nice.
They live up there and they just had twins. They have an older daughter that's about, I think it's between, that's about Sienna's age, a little bit younger than Sienna. And then twins, and one of them is our goddaughter, Gianna. That was good to see them. By the end of the weekend, they almost let us hold them.
Nice.
And then the big moment, this isn't all this summer, but the big moment this summer is Zaylee and I got out there, and Zaylee's riding a bike.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
So good.
I
told Mary, it's like, I know this is all about her, but I cannot tell you the parent weight that is off my shoulders.
Yeah, we're still on that.
Man. We went to Happy Feet last week and you guys weren't there.
Yeah, sorry.
It's fine. Our text would have been nice.
We were with Ann Godsey. Hacienda Leo.
Get out of here. And the Andersons were there. I don't know if you know them, but their son, Michael, who is in Happy Feet with Damien, just like hops on a bike and just like motors away.
Oh, jeez. Is he the oldest or is he's got to be younger?
Yeah, he's
wow. He's got older siblings probably.
Oh yeah, I think he's got four older siblings.
Yeah, so okay. I don't feel as bad.
Yeah, exactly. So it is like he had a head start in that.
Yeah. Seeing his siblings. That's one of our goals still this summer.
But it is like he's younger than Sienna and he's just like helmetless ripping around on this bike. Dude, and he's like, oh my goodness.
That always just makes me feel parent shame when I see stuff like that.
So I'm like the very next day I'm like, Zaylee, we are going to the cul-de-sac.
Nice.
We had this classic
you guys had started a little bit before, right? Yeah.
And she's done some different things.
So like it wasn't just like cold, like
balancing and those things. Classic parent moment. It's like a sitcom thing where Zaylee doesn't want to do this thing. And I'm like, honey, you got to. This is part of learning. I just wanted her to go to the end of the cul-de-sac and do a 180, like a slow turn.
Yeah.
So it was garbage day. So the garbage cans are. She's like, don't make me do this. Like, honey, you've got to learn to be. So yeah. I don't want to have to run down to the end of the cul-de-sac. So you can get back on your bike and come back down. I want you to be able to turn around.
This is a big thing. You got to do this.
It is the slowest, widest turn ever. And she comes ripping around and clips the last trash can in the cul-de-sac. It just runs right into it. It's just like, Dad, this is why I told you I didn't want to do this. She's like, she's embarrassed, but she's like yelling at me. And like people are working from home, like you know, there's clearly cars in the driveway. I'm like, are you okay? And so I'm like, let's get out of here.
That's a movie moment.
It is a movie moment.
It's also gonna be a core memory for her. Yeah. She's gonna be talking about in therapy later.
Why do you have trust issues?
No, I think that's a good parenting.
And then so now she's learned to on a downhill she can start herself too, which is a big moment that's for me. Because on our now she can do the sidewalk in front of our house. There's like a low spot near our house. And so she can kind of like go up to the top of the hill and turn around, start herself and go again. So nice. That's nice.
Those are big
much as I love jogging next to her.
I know. Yeah. That's what we've been focusing more on the Razor scooter, just honing those skills. So
how are his shins? Nothing like a Razor scooter cracking the shins.
He hasn't had one yet. But hey, we'll get there.
Oh, geez. Some lightning. We're looking out over what appears to be some grade A American corn in the backyard of
that corn's tall, isn't it?
That is, geez.
Wasn't it knee high by the 4th of July? Is that like an old or waist high?
That looks shoulder high.
Yeah. I don't remember the old saying.
Knee high by 4th of July.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
See, it was knee high about 3 weeks ago. So.
And we've gotten almost no rain.
Well, anyway.
Yeah.
Is that enough banter, you think?
Probably. We should probably save some for next week.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, we have both been just diving intellectually and spiritually into some books already this summer.
Yeah.
I was doing a lot better the first few weeks, and it's been just busy, and I kind of jumped off the bandwagon a little bit. But we are reading a book, not really together. You started reading it, and I said, I'm going to read it too.
Oh, I'll show you.
The book is The Fire Within by Father Thomas Dubé. Mm-hmm. It is about St. Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross, and the Gospel on Prayer. Just literally reading the cover.
Oh, I never noticed that.
Yeah. But anyway, just some thoughts from that and our own reflections in our life. Anything else from that?
No, I think it's been, we'd spoken of earlier about it, kind of a need to kind of rejuvenate ourselves, especially going into next year with the changes that are happening in the school. I think it's good for us to also kind of rejuvenate ourselves when it comes to the spiritual life.
Yeah.
So I picked a couple of books when we were going through what we were going to read this summer.
Yeah.
I'm glad we both picked this up, cause I think it's been kind of a good reflection on where we're at in our own spiritual lives. And also it's just something that I've never felt comfortable diving in myself to the works of Teresa of Avila and John of the Cross. I've tried on multiple times.
They can be intimidating.
And they are. Bit. Yeah.
It was nice having someone talk about them to me.
Yeah, now I look forward to going back in and reading some of their stuff again. Yep. This time feeling a lot more comfortable with it. But
now I will say this is the longest I think we've ever really gone without hanging out.
Yeah.
This summer. So I can't wait to actually like unpack this with you. Yeah, as we continue this summer.
Yeah, we get to meet. We more. Started off strong. We had that park date, and then we got busy.
Dude, our park, we talked for like over 2 hours. That was nuts.
That was also like just the perfect, like, it wasn't humid. It wasn't like sweltering. And we just like sit. It was actually really adorable. We just sat under a tree and talked to each other for a couple hours while the kids played.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
That was awesome. And then
I was like, we're going to do this every week. I know. We haven't seen each other since.
I know. This is like the longest. We're starved for some discussions here. But the first two books I read this summer were The Great Divorce by C.S. Lewis, which is like a fictional work where
love that book.
A soul goes through and sees these people struggling to really understand what heaven is, and like letting go of their attachments and letting go of their perceptions of God and themselves, and struggling with pride. And a lot of it was just them rejecting God and not being able to experience and grow into what they could be. Mm. So that was a nice little look at my life and my own attachments. And then I started reading Dante's Inferno, which is another just story of someone going through and seeing people struggling to their own ego and their pride and them trying to fix their lives. And then I started reading John of the Cross. It has been a very eye-opening summer for me.
Mm-hmm. In a good way.
In a good way. Because I think, like you said, that rejuvenating, like, I don't want to be those people that are stuck, that can't step on the grass because it's killing them. And they don't, I don't know. That's,
yeah, if you have not read The Great Divorce. Sorry, sorry. But I got you.
And so I think just diving into Father Dubé and him kind of just setting the stage of, hey, meditation is good. Taking time for God is good. But are you really unlocking what you can unlock?
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of my life, I've tried to dive a lot into meditation. And when they say like meditation, that is more of maybe taking some scripture, stories of the Gospels, mm-hmm. the Rosary, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, little things that we've talked about, and like praying with these lines in these moments. And it's a lot more of you doing that work. And that's great. And that's cute. Is what I'm figuring out.
Yeah.
I think I always kind of knew this, but I think it was, it's not always natural for me to take that next step.
Yeah. And I also think what this book does a great job of is, I've been guilty of this before. Like these deeply contemplative prayer lives are for someone else.
Yeah.
They're for religious. They're for people that have time for that. They're for this, or like the prayer that I have now is just what I have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good enough for me.
Right.
And it's not that it's bad, but it could be so much more. And I think they did a great job of like drawing down like from the insights of two absolute powerhouses of contemplative prayer and the way in which they wrote so eloquently about it and so clearly and experienced it themselves. Like how can I make that accessible and fill people with hope that this is attainable?
Yeah. Some of it's like, you know this stuff, it's hard to really put it, like, you can sit down and pray 30 minutes every day, and you know what you should be doing, mm-hmm. and you're still putting in the time, and it's still good, like, I think you're getting something, and I'm getting something valuable out of it, but so much of it is still self-serving.
Mm-hmm. Or like a checklist. Like
a check, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, whoop, did that, got it, but, yeah, what was my approach, where was my mind really,
mm-hmm.
Am I doing it to fulfill, to avoid feeling guilty, or am I using it as self-satisfactory? Like, oh, you know, I do this, but really it's so much more like, what is God doing in our own lives? And I think they speak so eloquently on that.
Yeah. Basically, I think what was interesting to me, or something that grasped and caught my attention, because I think it's something I've been seeking for a while, and I think probably you too, is that deeper experience and encounter with God. Mm-hmm. I think the whole reason we live our lives the way we do is because we have that encounter. And I think just even them explaining what that encounter and experience really is, what does it mean to experience God in prayer? It's not just my own working of an image of God in my head. It's allowing myself to be changed by that.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to be able to come into contact with it. And Dubé is talking about the idea of experiencing God. You can't give like a logical definition what that is. But he says that there are elements in our meeting of reality that exist. There's some kind of contact. You come in touch with it. You're listening to the music of Beethoven or smelling a flower, you come in contact with sound waves or the fragrance. But the contact isn't enough, because two pebbles on a beach can touch each other and they have no experience of each other. There's this living awareness of that contact. And third, there's this intellectual or this sense cognition. It says a field of wheat does not feel the sun or a breeze, but a hunter and a rabbit do. Like, we have the ability to feel to, with our mind, experience and sense it in a way. So you come to contact, you're aware of it.
You're understanding what it is.
You're understanding, yes, understanding what it is. And then the fourth is affectivity, which is like, how does this then make me feel? Either in a way of feeling good about it, like pleasantness or painfulness, dullness or excitement, sweetness or sourness, smoothness or roughness. And it's kind of affectivity which dominates our perceived contact with the world and other people. Mm-hmm. As we're experiencing the things, how does this really affect me personally? How is it moving me in a positive way or negative way? And it says that the more beautiful something might be, it might incline you to great reflection. It might incline you to greater delight. But finally, he says that the element of passivity, when reality does something to us, when we experience it, we are in some way changed as we're receiving that change. I think we've noticed that as we've had 18 podcasts on how the world and beauty has changed us with that encounter. But I think something that hit me is, I don't know if I stay too much on that level of affectivity. How is this changing me? How am I feeling pleasant or finding delight? And I don't know if I'm getting to that last step of a passive change in myself. And I think that's almost that experience of God that a lot of the saints have encountered. I think a lot of my meditation is getting me to a level of awareness of how I'm reacting and changing throughout life, how I'm treating people. But am I allowing myself to get to the next level where I'm experiencing God, or where I just don't have an attachment to the earthly things of looking out and seeing the beautiful sunrise? Am I allowing myself to, I don't know,
move beyond merely the sensual, like the,
yeah. How is this making me feel?
Mm-hmm. And why?
Right. But to like, I don't know. Did any of that make sense, or is that?
Yeah, and I don't. It's admittedly a tough concept to grasp, but I initially, they speak a lot about how nature can be a great start to prayer.
Yeah.
Right. But that it's, and we've just been sharing recently about how that's played a powerful role in our own lives. But the idea is that I think to go beyond merely just enjoyment of a beautiful view and basking in the reality that God created it, which is good, and that we're a part of it, is to go an additional level deeper and to rest and come more in contact, not with just what it is that we are seeing, but with that divine origin, with that divine being, and allowing it to change us. And how does that look? Like, how does that practically look? And I think that's what we're, at least what I'm trying to get to.
Because I think I'm still a little too hooked up on the finite things, the temporary things, the earthly things. Although I'm finding delight and enjoyment in it in a way. Dubé talks about how like the saints like John of the Cross or Francis of Assisi, they use those finite things. They realize that those things led them to the infinite. They enjoy things. You read about John of the Cross and Francis like enjoying the things of the world, but there's no selfish clinging to those things. It says that for the attentive heart who is on a serious pursuit of God, they use the finite order as a stepping stone to the infinite. And those words are the attentive heart on a serious pursuit of God. And that was like something that caused reflection and examination in me. Do I have an attentive heart? I think I have a heart that's sometimes aware of things. Is it fully attentive to God, really? Or is it just attentive to all the little things that I feel like I need to do around the house? Even the idea of being a good father and husband, like, yes, I'm attentive to that, but why? Is God with me in that? Or am I just trying to please the people in my life because it makes me feel good to please people?
Yeah.
And that serious pursuit of God, I think that took that examination in me. You know, when I was reading The Great Divorce and reading Dante's Inferno, some of that could be like, it's not just a scare tactic. It's an awakening within. Like, am I seriously pursuing God? Because I was going through some rough moments where I would go out and look at the sunrise, and that was such a meaningful moment of me. But I was like, am I just so attached to this? Do I need the sunrise every morning? Like, am I selfishly clinging to the things of the world because I need them to make me feel good in that moment?
Yeah.
What if I didn't have a sunrise? Am I still able to delight in God?
Because it's not an end in and of itself. We don't go to see the sunrise for the sake of the sunrise. It's not why we do it. And and I think that's, we get caught up in that. If I don't have my routine, if I don't have things as I want them, if I don't have a means like music or a sunrise to drum up in me the emotions that in my own mind perceive it to be, or to bring me to the, I don't know, to manufacture
yeah.
something that is God-like? Or am I actually hoping to come in contact with this divine love and have the humility to understand that it is not the sunset that changes me, but mm-hmm. it is contact with the loving God that transforms me, mm-hmm. right? And it's a shift in our why we do things, mm-hmm. right? Do I do it so that I attain some sort of goal? Do I do it because of the expectations of others? Do I pray because it feels it's a duty, an obligation, or whatever? Or is it, again, out of a genuine love and desire to come in contact with the divine and mm-hmm. allow that to transform me?
Yeah, and to get to that point of passivity where I'm allowing it to transform me.
Because I think, even in some of my, in reflecting back, I think some of my, what I thought were some of my best moments of prayer are not manufactured as in fake. They're still good there, but it is like it's some.
A clinging to what it did for me almost, or like what I was able to conjure up.
Yeah.
Almost. I don't know if that's.
Like I played too much of a role in it. Like, I don't know. It's.
I think that again, another one of those words is that clinging to the selfish, selfish clingings to the things that we find delight in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I have a lack of understanding beauty or seeing beauty, experiencing it, but I think there's a selfish clinging to beauty of, I want to pray almost because of the beauty and the selfishness of that I get out of it. Let me try to kind of push it forward a little bit here. So the idea of the attentive heart who is on a serious pursuit of God uses the finite order as a stepping stone to the infinite. And John on the Cross talks about, in quote scripture here, God clothes these things with beauty and splendor by his mere gaze. Yes, everything is so amazing here in the world, but how much more attention does he give to the incarnation and the mysteries of the faith? And there's a far greater loveliness to experience in that. And I don't know what this is from, but he says, do not send me any more messengers. They cannot tell me what I must hear. I can look at all these things of a beautiful pasture and these things. Tell me 1,000 graceful things of you. All wound me more and leave me dying. Because he's experiencing little tastes of it, he's almost like dissatisfied with knowing that there's something much more there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where I'm trying to get to in my prayer. Is not looking at what I've done so far in a negative way, but like now I think I'm at a point where I'm ready to be like, that stuff is so good, but it's not what I'm fully made for. I'm made to experience. If God has given me so many great graces there, what else does he have in store for me? And I think that's trying to look at it more in a positive way of encountering the beloved in a way of allowing him to surprise me, or my prayer isn't just controlled by my will and my desires and my clingings. It's like letting go of even some of that within spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm making sense or rambling, but
yeah. And I, he talks about, or Father DeBay talks about the utter otherness or the transcendence of God. This idea again, that there's such a radical, void between the divine, between the inner life of the Trinity and even the most beautiful of the created things. And he talks here about how faith is what bridges that gap. It's about drawing ourselves out of, and as you said, leaving behind our attachments to the created, though we have our obligations and needs, of course, to participate in it. But this idea of prayer is to raise the heart, to bring it into contact with and the soul with the divine and trying life that is transformative as this radical love setting it ablaze, mm-hmm. right? This idea that our hope is to not just stay on this, surround ourselves with the most beautiful of created things, but yet to reside in that ineffable, unspeakable love,
mm-hmm.
right? That is at the heart of the Trinity. Yeah. And that's what actually holds the potential. And when we are drawn up into the divine, right, that ultimately is what is going to be the source of what good comes in our own lives spiritually, but also in the created order.
Yeah. I think, sorry, cause you guys have not been reading this book like we have. So hopefully we didn't get you lost there. The idea is like, in prayer, moving from that meditative state into contemplation. And mm-hmm. contemplation is a gift. It's infused. It's given from God. We can't conjure this up. We can't make it up. We can do things in our life to get to a point where we're ready to receive. Yes. And he talks about how meditation is good. And so if you're someone that maybe doesn't pray as much, meditation is a good place to start to get you to that place. But he talks about meditation is using our own images and concepts of the created order. And it's not going to be able to give you that union with God in a way that he can give that union. And I think that's where I'm wanting to grow in is not just using my own images and concepts of the created world, knowing that God's being and self is so, like you said, so far above us and so transcendent. Can I allow myself to experience that in a way?
And be taken away by him.
Yeah.
By God. I think I've always tried to teach kids these processes, if you will.
Yeah.
Right. To try to attain God in prayer, to feel God in prayer. And the way I've spoken about prayer, I regret it.
Yeah.
Because I think that's when you spoke about the movement from meditative to contemplative, right? It's a movement from rote prayers or certain systems or methods that we like and are attached to or have been taught to something that is a gift completely from God. It is driven by and given to us by God. And it's not attained through mere human methods or techniques. I feel awful because when people ask me how to pray, I've often given them a method or like the acts thing, adoration,
confession. Which isn't like bad in itself.
Right. And that's
what I'm trying to like, also
that's a starting point. Yeah. Right. And so I think this is just a reminder, like that's ultimately all of those methods are meant for us to come to know God better, mm-hmm. draw closer to him, use the scriptures to understand him, to spend time with. Like these are all important things when you're coming to love somebody. Right. But then ultimately there is a love that many of us experience maybe in our own lives, right? Whether it's unconditional love from a parent or with a spouse or whatever, where this idea that it's like, it's a resting with, and it's a love that transforms us that is not created by how we approached it, but mm-hmm. because we sat before them and received and rested with.
Yeah.
And I think this is what I think we're hoping to learn more about and to work towards this idea that it's, yeah, how can I come in contact? And even the way I speak about it there, like I come in contact with God. Like, no.
Can I trust that God will bring me into this?
Can I detach myself from the created world, my own methods, my own desires or expectations of what prayer should look like?
Yeah.
And can I rest with the divine presence and allow God's transforming love to have an effect on me?
How do I do enough active things that allows me to be passive?
Right.
It's like, it's a bizarre thing. And I think it's just more of a, trying to look at it again in a positive way. Because sometimes I can be disappointed, like you've wasted a lot of your life not even recognizing this. But also just like there's so many saints that started to receive deep prayer later in life, 40s, 50s, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like it's never too late to, you know, try to grow in that way.
Yeah.
I think this book, I don't know. Sometimes you read the saints, like I need to be exactly like this. Like there's a reason there's only been a couple of them that have been able to, like maybe we won't all get there, but at least they're telling us a path of what we can do to even just experience some of the smallest moments of that delight and that consolation, that joy, that love.
Yeah. And I think it should be encouraging that there is more.
Yeah.
There's more out there to be, to get out of prayer, and that it is attainable if we follow like the wisdom of the saints, ridding our lives of sin, approaching prayer in a new way, and trying to understand what it means, like right, to come in contact with that divine life.
Yeah. And I think this was a good thing for us to kind of just get back on the mic, start working through some stuff. Mm-hmm. Even as we've been talking, I've been coming up with other things that might be more clear and concise for next time. Because I think we're starting to tap into some stuff that we really liked within the book, but we had to kind of just get some things started.
Yeah. Thanks for letting us process. Thanks for listening to us process that live.
Yeah.
Gosh, I hope any of it made sense. Good luck saving any of this, Joy.
Yeah. Any shout outs today?
Real quick, Ashley Miller. She's going to be going to Dayton. Oh, no, University of Miami.
University of Miami, Ohio, right?
Right? That's where she's going.
I think
so.
And if you're not, sorry.
Yeah.
Finally got the mailer from her.
I told her that she should give us like an ad read. Like she should type one up and we'll do it. Like we're sponsored by Focus Missionary Ashley Miller.
Yeah.
And see if we can
help her. I haven't checked the email.
We need to check the email. Maybe this was just a couple of days ago. I asked her when I saw it at Mass. But shout out to her. Shout out to all Focus Missionaries. And if you would like to support a Focus Missionary, Ashley Miller is your gal.
There you go. I'm sure there's shout outs I have. I don't know. Shout out to Aiden McCoy. Saw him at Benedictine.
I was going to ask you. Yes.
Yeah. So we saw him and his dad at Willie's, and he paid for our meal. Did I tell you that?
Aiden McCoy.
Aiden McCoy.
Out of his
Chop Chop full money. Yeah. It was so nice. So thank you, Aiden, for that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It wasn't his dad either. I thought it was his dad. Mm-hmm. No, Aiden actually did it. That was a grown-up move.
Aiden,
he's grown up on us.
Aiden, I'll shoot you a text next time I'm out to eat.
You can show him and pay for my meal. Great guy.
Great guy.
Bless his heart. Cool.
For the kingdom?
For the kingdom.